Title: Velocity Layering for Lev Drum Feel Advanced. Alright, let's get into one of the most unfair advantages in drum and bass production. Velocity Layering. This is the move that takes you from perfectly on-grid drum machine to this groove feels played, without sacrificing the tightness you need at 174 BPM. In this lesson, you're going to build a drum rack where velocity does more than just make things louder. Velocity will choose different samples, it'll change the tone, and it'll even change the length of hits. Ghost notes will feel like real ghosts, accents will bite, and your loop will start breathing early, like by bar 2, not bar 32. Let's set the stage. Set your project tempo to 174 BPM. Create a MIDI track and load an Ableton drum rack. Then set up an 8-bar loop in arrangement view. 8 bars is perfect because it forces you to build something that evolves, but it's still short enough that you can actually finish it. Quick advanced workflow note: keep your pad layout consistent across projects. Kick living on C1, snare on D1, hats always in the same neighborhood. At DNB speed, muscle memory is a superpower. Now, before you start layering like a maniac, here's a coach move that most people skip. Do a velocity audit. Create a blank MIDI clip. Record yourself tapping the snare 16 times in a row. Don't quantize. Then open the velocity lane and look at what you naturally do. A lot of people live between, say, 70 and 105. If that's you, and you build splits like Ghost is 1 to 30, Hard is 120 to 127, you'll almost never hit your intended layers. So we're going to build the rack around your real fingerprint, not an idealized 1 to 127 fantasy. Cool. Now let's build velocity layers inside a single drum rack pad, starting with the kick. Click the kick pad, usually C1. Inside that pad, drop an instrument rack. Yes, a rack inside a pad. That's where the layering magic becomes clean and controllable. Inside the instrument rack, create 3 chains. Name them kick soft, kick mid, and kick hard. Put a sampler on each chain, and load 3 kick samples that genuinely behave differently. Soft should have a rounder transient, less click, more thud. Mid is your balanced workhorse. Hard is your aggressive top layer, more click, more attack, more cut. Now the key move, velocity zones. Open the chain view, go to the key and val editor, and switch to the velocity zone editor. Set your ranges something like this: soft from 1 to 55, mid from 45 to 95, hard from 85 to 127. And don't skip crossfades. Crossfade the overlapping areas so you don't hear that obvious sample switching. Soft fades out around 45 to 55, mid fades in and out around 45 to 55 and 85 to 95, and hard fades in around 85 to 95. This is the difference between pro-layered instrument and 3 samples fighting. DNB context tip: your main kick hits often feel great around 90 to 115 velocity, but sprinkle in occasional lighter kicks like 55 to 75 to create push and pull. Even if the pattern is simple, the feel gets instantly more physical. Now we do the same concept for snare, but with a big DNB specific twist, ghosts. Go to the snare pad, T1. Build 3 layers, optionally 4. Snare ghost. Quiet, short, papery. Snare body. The main identity. Snare crack. The transient and top end bite. Optional rim or stick layer if you want jungle flavor. Set suggested ranges like ghost 1 to 45, body 35 to 100, crack 80 to 127. Notice the overlap again. Overlap is your friend, because overlap plus crossfade equals realism. Here's a really important teacher note: ghost samples shouldn't just be the same snare turned down. Real drummers change the way the stick connects. Ghosts tend to be shorter, sometimes a little brighter but much quieter, and often less boom. If your ghost is just a quieter full snare, it'll sound like mini backbeats, and that ruins the illusion. Now, sample switching alone still sounds sampled, so the next step is where it gets advanced. Velocity controls tone and behavior too. Inside the pad chain, add a MIDI velocity device before the instrument rack. This device is not for making things louder. It's for shaping the performance curve. On kick, you might add a little drive if everything's too gentle, and add some compression in the velocity device like 20 to 35%, so your dynamics are controlled, not chaotic. Also consider keeping out high below full 127, so you're not constantly slamming maximum velocity. If everything is at 127, you've deleted your own realism. For snare, useless compression may be 10 to 25% because snares benefit from expression. You want ghosts to be ghosts and backbeats to feel like intent. Now we map velocity inside sampler 2. Open sampler on at least your softer layers. Go to filter, turn it on. Choose LP24 for clean behavior, or SVF if you want more character. Set a bass cutoff that fits the layer. Soft snare might sit around 6 to 10 kHz. Hard snare could be 12 to 18 kHz. Then in the modulation section, increase velocity to filter frequency, maybe plus 10 to plus 25 as a starting point. Now louder hits naturally brighten. That is live drum behavior. It's subtle, but your brain recognizes it instantly. Next, we give you arrangement control without killing the microfeel. Inside your pad's instrument rack, create a macro called Hit Aggro. Map it to the saturator drive and maybe a small high shelf gain on EQ8, like saturator drive from 0 to 6 dB, and EQ shelf from 0 to 2.5 dB around 8 to 10 kHz. Here's the philosophy. Velocity is performance, macros are energy. Velocity does the tiny hit-by-hit behavior, while macros let you lift the whole vibe for a drop, or calm it down for an intro. Now, extra realism. Use velocity to control length, not just loudness. In sampler, go to the amp envelope, map velocity, so ghost notes have a shorter release. Accents ring slightly longer. This is how real hits feel. Light taps are often choked. Big hits bloom. And one more advanced move, velocity to sample start. For ghost layers, nudge the sample start slightly later into the transient, so the ghost tucks behind the beat without sounding like a tiny duplicate. Keep it tiny. We're talking barely, not new drum. All right, hats. This is where rollers live or die. On the closed hat pad, build two or three layers. A tight hat, a slightly more open hat, and optionally a dirtier hat. Set velocity zones so tight hats dominate the lower and mid range, and the more open hat appears more on accents. For example, tight from 1 to 80, open from 70 to 127, dirty may be living around 30 to 90 with gentle crossfades. Now add controlled randomness. Put a random MIDI effect before the hat rack. Set chance around 10 to 18%. Choices at 2. Gale low, like 4 to 12, and set the sign to plus and minus. That gives you micro variation, but not chaos. Then, after random, put a velocity device and add a bit of compression, like 15 to 25%, so the random bumps don't accidentally create randomly huge hats. A classic roller idea, 16th hats, with accents on the EF2 and the EF4. Ghost hats might sit around 35 to 55 velocity, accents around 85 to 110. That alone starts to swing, even if everything is quantized. Now for one of the sickest tricks in this whole lesson. Break ghosts that only appear at low velocity. Inside your snare pad rack, create a new chain called Break Ghost. Load a sampler in slice mode, or a sampler with a single break hit. Choose a slice from something like the Amen, Think, Hot Pants, whatever complements your snare. Set the Break Ghost chain velocity range to only trigger at low velocities, like 1 to 35. Maybe 1 to 45 depending on your velocity audit. So here's what happens. Your modern snare stays clean on main hits, but when you program soft ghost notes, a little break texture leaks in. It's jungle DNA hiding underneath a modern drum. Mixing note. EQ8 on that break ghost chain. High pass around 200 to 400 HC so it doesn't fight your snare body or your low mids. If it clashes with your crack, dip a touch around 2 to 4 kHz. And if you want it to sit behind the modern snare even more, put a tiny room ambience on the break ghost chain only. Early reflections, subtle. That pushes it backward psychoacoustically. Now let's talk microfeel, because velocity layering plus timing is where program turns into performed. Ghost notes can be slightly earlier, and accents can sit slightly later. At this tempo, we're talking tiny nudges. Pull ghost notes earlier by 2 to 6 milliseconds, and let big backbeat sit 0 to 4 milliseconds late. Do it manually on a few hits. Don't globally shift your groove, just massage a couple moments so the kit feels like limbs, not a spreadsheet. Now, group processing. This is where people accidentally destroy everything they just built. On the drum rack output, add a glue compressor. Try attack around 3 milliseconds, release on auto ratio 2 to 1. Set the threshold, so you're only getting about 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. Light glue. If you smash it, you erase velocity articulation. Then add drum bus if you want weight and grit. Drive maybe 5 to 15%. Crunch extremely careful, like 0 to 10%. Boom usually off or super subtle in D&B, because your bass is owning the sub. And a limiter only as safety, not as your loudness plan. If you want heavier aggression while respecting dynamics, do distortion in parallel, a return track with saturation or distortion, blended low. Loud hits naturally excite it more. Ghosts stay mostly clean. That's dynamic behavior you don't have to fight. Now we arrange, because velocity layering really shines when you give it a story. Try this. Bars 1 to 4, keep average velocities lower. Your snare backbeats might be 85 to 95, fewer crack triggers. Bars 5 to 8, raise your accent velocity so the crack comes in more often, like 105 to 120 on 2 and 4. Add a pre-snare ghost to 16th, before 2 or 4 at velocity 25 to 40 to create that little inhale before the hit. And automate your hit aggro macro up by 10 to 20% in fills or on the drop. Same pattern, different intensity. Another advanced arrangement trick, section-based layer availability. In breakdowns, literally disable the hardest chain in kick or snare, then bring it back for the drop. The MIDI stays identical, but the drummer plays harder when the song needs it. Now let's hit common mistakes so you can dodge them. 1. Layering identical samples. If your soft, mid, and hard layers are basically the same transient and tone, you're just doing volume automation with extra steps. Choose layers that behave differently. 2. Hard velocity splits without crossfade. That creates audible switching. Always overlap and crossfade. 3. Overcompressing the drum bus. That will flatten your entire velocity performance into one static block. Keep it light. 4. Ghost notes too loud or too bassy. Ghosts should be felt more than heard. High pass them, shorten them, tuck them. 5. Everything at 127. Leave headroom for expression. If your hard zone is always pinned, you've removed contrast. Now a quick advanced variation. Fake round robin without max for live. Duplicate one of your snare layers into two or three chains with identical velocity ranges. Then detune them slightly, like plus or minus 3 to 8 cents. Change sample start a tiny bit. Maybe nudge filter cutoff slightly. Then use random controlling chain selector to rotate between them. This kills the machine gun effect on repeated hits while staying totally inside stock Ableton tools. Another variation. Build an air layer instead of boosting EQ. Create a texture chain, like a tiny noise burst or hiss tick, and fade it in only at higher velocities. Your accents get brighter in a natural way, rather than you EQing the entire snare brighter. Now, mini practice exercise. Set a timer for 15 to 25 minutes. Make a 2-bar loop at 174 BPM. Kick on 1, optional on the end of 2, and on 3. Snare on 2 and 4. Hats on 16 THS. Build 3 velocity layers for kick and snare like we did. This audio version is shortened for playback.